imagine you are in front of a group of people, you wonder what they would think about you, and then it happens. You do something stupid, or you even have a complete blackout in what you wanted to say. What do you do in such a situation? About this and more secrets about public speaking, I am talking in this episode, which is the second part of an interview that I have recorded with my fellow Toastmaster member, Lauri Lechmuswirta, who is active in public speaking since more than 7 years and nowadays also coaching people to become a better keynote speaker. If you want to know more about the Toastmasters organization and about Lauri as well, then I would recommend you to listen first to the first part of this interview, the episode 65, to get a little bit more understanding what is Toastmasters International, what is it about public speaking, what can you do in that organization, and how it helps you to develop yourself.
But when you've been on stage hundreds of times and you've done stupid things on purpose and sometimes without purpose, then you start learning that, hey, nobody really cares. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world if you do something embarrassing on the stage where everyone's looking at you or staring at you.
Yeah.
In a way, you get used to it.
So how has your Toastmasters career then developed then over the years? So you started in around, like you said, 2015, joining the organization, and then over the years, like, I mean, you have been very active and then also taking certain leadership roles. I'm not even sure, have you competed in contests, and how did that go, and how did your whole path there develop?
I became a member in 2016, like February.
Mm.
And when I was living in Hong Kong 2017, I was a member there as well. Which is a funny thing. Last October, I visited Hong Kong and I went to my old club. during Corona time, I was also participating in their hybrid meetings.
Yeah.
It was fun. But I'd say that the first 2 years I was really active, but then I was away for about 1 year and a half in 2018-2019. I felt that I'm in Toastmasters in spirit, but I wasn't a member in any club, but I started having this feeling that I want to come back, and then I came back to study Talkers in 2019. I think it was August or September. Then before I took the presidency of Study Talkers, which was summer 2020. And I was just a, let's say, normal, regular member. I would do some speeches, take up roles. Maybe I would decide on Monday morning, do I even go to the meeting? But I think it was the biggest turning point was when I decided to become the president of the Society of Workers. We had some issues back then. And, you know, it was Corona year and nobody really wanted to take the leadership role. So I decided, okay, someone has to do it. And I'm that someone. But, you know, when you take up leadership role, then you have to represent. And I wasn't giving that many, I think I wasn't giving too many speeches that year, but as a president, you have to open the meeting and close the meeting and sometimes take extra roles. That was maybe the most important time or year, in sense that I grew more self-confidence on being on stage, running the club, seeing that, okay, we're going forward before not leaving. And about the competing, I have competed before Corona. I once made it to division level on tabletop, but but I couldn't go there in person, so just had to drop it. I wasn't that into competing that time. I also competed back in 2016 and on a club level. But now I'm going all in for the International Speed Contest this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see that. So fingers crossed. I also wanted to touch a little bit about that stand-up comedy that you were doing, because I think you shared that once also on LinkedIn when you said, hey, I started that as well in 2016, and it's such a, how should I say, special experience also to do that and to really trying to make people laugh. I mean, not just entertaining them by talking, but really bringing in humor. And I heard it once, I think it was a German actor who said, it's so much more difficult to make people laugh than to make people cry. And also in Toastmasters, when I gave my first humorous speeches, I also realized it's so difficult to create humor. So you really have to think about different things and try to construct it in a way that really comes funny, and then try to bring it like as naturally as possible. What were your key learnings from trying out stand-up comedy?
I tried stand-up comedy in Hong Kong 2017, but I didn't really go back to it before this spring. But I've been following some comedians and trying to learn from them, and now I'm going to a stand-up comedy course to, you know, learn more about it. But like you said, the difficulty is to learn how to make your audience laugh when you want them to laugh.
Yeah.
But I've always considered that it's more about, it's like telling stories in a fancy manner or a funny manner, in a funny way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are ways how to tell jokes, or is it more about the story that you're telling in a, like a humoristic way. Because I feel that it's more about your stage appearance, or when you go on stage as a stand-up comedian, then people are going to judge you by the way you look. And okay, how do I dress up? What kind of appearance do I want to give to my audience before I open my mouth? Well, the same applies to public speaking. Like, how do you go on stage? How do you meet people before your presentation? How do you look like? Are you full of energy, or are you just feeling gloomy that day?
Mm.
And in stand-up comedy, it's just, how sort of, let's say that the building blocks are same. You just do use them in different way.
What do you mean with building blocks?
Like you have all the same elements as in public speaking, or most of the same elements, but your goal is different.
So you mean like from the structure of the speech, the introduction, the main part, the wrap up?
No, more about the stage appearance. You go on stage, your goal is to make people laugh. Okay, how do you do it? Do you, what kind of jokes do you have? Sometimes you have jokes that work well, but the next day same jokes don't work. It's a chaos in the sense that you can never be certain of how is it going to go.
How would you manage that? So let's say if you're on a stage, you're bringing your joke, and you feel, okay, nobody's laughing. What would you do now? Would you come up immediately with another punchline, or would you just be, okay, take that, let's move on?
Well, sometimes you could just state that okay, maybe audience isn't drunk enough for.
Okay. Yeah.
Or don't, in general, I'd say that don't blame everything on the audience or anything, but it's a way to cover your ass.
Okay.
Or that, oh, this joke would work in Eastern Helsinki, or, you know, some area that's known for But the reason I decided to, you know, get more serious with stand-up comedy is that I want different kind of stage time. So I want more of the experience. You go on stage, you try to make people laugh, and they hate you. I believe that's going to be a good experience for me. One of people I'm following, Darren Lacroix, he won Toastmasters International Speech Contest back in 2001. And his story, how he started as a public speaker, was he wanted to be a comedian, and he sucked on stage. And now that I've been listening to him for about 2 years, then, like, I decided that, hey, I want to try stand-up comedy even more and suck like he did and grow from it. And...
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So what would be your target? Would you like to be in a show or having a certain program or a certain stage time about, I don't know, 30 minutes, 1 hour? Let's say if you would dream big, where could that go?
Dream big. Maybe 20, 30 minutes would be enough in a comedy club. I mean, being a professional stand-up comedian isn't my goal. It's more about a way to learn about being on stage and making people laugh.
And besides that, now you also became a professional coach for public speaking. So you set up your own business, coaching people and becoming better speakers and also giving debates. How is that going?
What I'm currently doing, I have this professional keynote speaker course or program I'm doing for three individuals where I teach them how to be a professional keynote speaker. We're following a book called Unforgettable Presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, my participants, I teach them the basics. They get the information from the book. I give one-on-one coaching mm-hmm. for them.
Mm-hmm.
For 4 to 6 weeks, and we're working their way towards being more professional. You know, not just going on stage with lots of PowerPoint slides, but okay, how do you tell a story that sticks, and how do you open your presentation or your keynote without it being boring, and how do you close it without it being boring, or mm-hmm. how do you close it so that audience remembers your main message 3 days after or 3 weeks.
Mm, okay.
And their goal.
Could you share two or three tips, like in this podcast, for the listeners? Like, what is something that they could keep in mind when they would prepare themselves, let's say, for an important meeting or presentation at work?
I'd say start with the audience. Like, who are you talking to? What do you want them to think, feel, or do after your speech? I mean, mm-hmm. even if your speech is only 3 minutes or is it 45 minutes, what do you want them to do, think, or feel?
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the audience as well. I mean, maybe today I'm talking to colleagues, tomorrow I might be talking to customers. I have to consider the audience again. Okay, well, what do they probably want to hear
mm-hmm.
or what I want them to? And another thing is that concentrate on pauses and silence. It sounds simple, but when you look at people giving speeches, quite often you see people trying to put lots of information in a short time. And then you speak so much or so fast that nobody really remembers what did you talk about. But what more advanced speakers do, they have pauses.
Mm-hmm.
You say something, you pause. Or you emphasize something with pause. And when you slow down a bit, let's say 70-80% to your normal speech, you actually give more time for your brain to process what you're going to say, which reduces the amount of filler words, like and so on. And it also gives you a possibility to use the pauses more effectively. Is it simple tip enough?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. It makes sense. Like, I can also say from my own experience, or at least for me personally, like doing the pauses is the most challenging thing. Because I think it feels always so weird, or those pauses, they can feel like forever. And then even that you have the feeling, okay, like there's the pause, there's silence, and I have to come up with something. So I cannot just keep the silence. I think this is really where you need a lot of self-confidence to be able to make that pause, handle that silence, holding that frame. I mean, still being present and just having your audience in that silence.
Oh yeah. It takes lots of, you know, guts.
Yeah.
You know, be on stage and be silent. But after you try it a couple of times, then it gets easier.
When you do that, I mean, when you do that yourself, like making that pause in a speech, do you do something in your head? Like, are you counting or just like thinking about a mantra or something? Or any trick?
One trick is that if you ask a question to the audience, that you repeat the question in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But I sometimes would count with fingers, trying to hide my fingers, of course, or just try to create eye contact with members. And then you create eye contact, wait for maybe 2 seconds, 3 seconds, go for the second one. It depends on situation.
Okay. What then if, let's say, the pause is involuntarily? I mean, you had shared that before we started the recording that it once happened to you in a live stream that you were freezing completely. And then what do you do then? I think that's maybe the situation where most of the people would be afraid of. I go on the stage, I have to speak in front of a group of people, and then you freeze and nothing happens. How do you survive that, or how do you manage that?
I'll tell the story first. So this was when I was working in Hong Kong. I had a business trip to mainland China, and there was one education related exhibition. And I was invited on a live stream to talk about Finland. And I could give the questions beforehand, where I would come up with the answers. But when I was on stage, I would forget my own questions, my own answers. And when they would ask me the question, I was, oh my God, what does this even mean?
But it was in English.
It was in English, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
When you have a blackout, one trick is to take a deep breath. One is to repeat either the question or what did you just say? And then just improvise. I'd say these three for now. Depending on the situation. What happens to me quite a lot on stage is that I forget some part of my speech, or I wanted to talk about something. But it's a bit different to blackout, because then I just continue with the rest of the story. But in this kind of situation, just stay cool, take a deep breath, and start speaking something. It will come to you.
Yeah. Was it the only time when such a blackout happened to you? Would you say like that happens to you once, and afterwards you notice, okay, you have survived that and can't get any worse, and you are kind of healed? Or how was that?
But it has happened to me in Toastmasters many times. But you know, it's a bit different, because Toastmasters is more like a training ground, training place. But this was more like a real deal. Sometimes when I give trainings, I might forget. Nowadays, it might be so that I don't even prepare that much. I mean, I have the general idea of how to speak, and then I just improvise and maybe take the questions, give questions to the audience. And that way, if I start getting the awkward feeling of blackout or forgetting what I wanted to talk about, I can, you know, escape the situation by talking to the audience. Yeah, but it depends so much on the situation. Okay, if you're on a big stage and there's 10,000 people looking at you, it's a bit different than when you're in a more casual setting. But hey, blackouts do happen to professionals as well. I'm not just talking about myself, but, you know, like real professionals who get paid thousands of euros per speech. And it's good to remember that, you know, the real professionals have the same problem sometimes. Not just us who are learning.
Yeah, I mean, we're all humans. So you said you have that offer for people to become better keynote speakers at the moment. Who are your target customers? Are they having a certain keynote that they have to prepare for, or a certain presentation that they have to give at their workplace? Or is that coaching that you're offering for anyone who just has in general the feeling, I would like to improve my presentation and my speaking skills?
I'd say the easiest for me is a person with a goal.
Mm.
And why I created this professional keynote speaker course is because it has a goal. Okay, you participate. We start from brainstorming ideas. Okay, what could be your inspiring and motivating keynote speech about? Sometimes I do get contacts from people who just generally want to become better speakers. But if there's no real goal, it's a bit difficult to grasp on, okay, what are we actually working about on here? My ideal customers would be people who speak on at their work. They have to get on stage, give a bigger presentation or something. And we could work on the whole, well, not the presentation in the sense of slides, but, you know, how to create the whole 20-minute or 45-minute or 1 hour from the beginning, and how structure the whole session. That's actually what I'm doing with my course participants. That we start from the scratch. Maybe they had an idea, maybe they didn't have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
The idea here with the keynote speech is that it's inspiring and motivating, and you kind of want the audience to have an, I don't know, aha moments. I don't know how it's in other countries, but in Finland it seems that the word keynote, the definition of a keynote is a general presentation about anything, but I'd like to take it back to the direction that it's an inspiring and motivating speech.
Yeah. Because, and not just, as you said, not just a person who is confident just to go on a stage and open his or her mouth, but
yeah,
bringing some message.
Yeah, because it does change the whole setting. I mean, the idea with a keynote speech is also that it doesn't go too deep into details. It's more like general information, because if you have to go deeper, then you can sell a training, or you can give more like a technical presentation, or something else. Like, you have to consider what is the best format of speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
To your audience. Then we get back to the audience. Okay, what do I want my audience to know? Because I could give a speech about, you know, how to create your keynote speech, but the training is better, because then my audience or participants, they get to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of small differences.
But now, I mean, if people are listening who think like, okay, yeah, I have to give a speech or such a keynote speech or an important presentation that should leave a message in the next couple of months, how could people find you if they would like to reach out to you to participate in the training that you're offering?
Currently, I'm most active in LinkedIn. That's about it. Follow me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Hit me with a message, like even if you're slightly interested, then I can share how can I help, what to do next.
Mm-hmm. And your coachings, they are on site here in Helsinki, or are you offering online training as well?
I can do both. I have one sort of a client online. With my keynote course, we kind of do hype. We have on-site meetings, but then I give one-on-one coaching online. So sometimes it's enough to have a video, so I can look at the video, make a transcribe it, look at, okay, what's happening there, and then I can give feedback. Okay, try this thing next time.
Mm.
That's also one way to do it.
So people send you their video recordings from their rehearsals,
yeah,
and then you directly look them through and they get direct feedback from you what to improve and where to work on.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is I'm quite analytical and technical on this field. Like I like to look at the small details.
Yeah.
Okay. How does your body language work? And
yeah.
How does your sentence structure go? And okay, how about just changing the order of words and emphasizing it a bit, then it would be a more powerful message or this
kind.
Sometimes it's the small things that matter.
Yeah. And I think that's the interesting thing about public speaking when you really dig into it, like what's the technique behind it. It's not just, oh, you stand there and you talk just like you feel, but it's that hard work actually that you think about the structure and the body language and how you use your voice. And I think many people are not aware of that until they really start digging deeper into the matter and asking some experts how they could do it better.
Oh, yeah. Something came to my mind regarding that. Quite often when we, you know, start our public speaking journey, and we have heard about, you know, writing a speech, then we write a speech, and we write like writing a novel or a short story. Then you go on stage and read your novel. Like changing the mindset so that you don't speak like you write, but you speak for the ear, not for the eye.
Yeah, good point.
And, you know, when you're speaking, you don't have to be grammatically correct to make a point. Sometimes you have to play with the structure, the sentence structure and word to create stronger emphasis or stronger message.
Okay, so we will definitely put your LinkedIn profile into the show notes that also people have the possibility to find you. Is there anything else you would like to share at the end of this podcast interview? Any key insights or key tips or anything you would like the listeners to know about public speaking?
I'd like to close by saying that public speaking is a skill that you just need to practice. I mean, I remember back in high school, my music teacher would say that usually people say that they're bad at singing because they haven't ever tried singing. And at one point I started taking singing classes because I wanted to become better at singing.
Mm-hmm.
Public speaking is same. If you haven't done it a lot, then you just don't have the experience. Everyone can become better speaker on stage. You just need practice, you need feedback and some theory, new information. Just get on stage. This is why organizations like Toastmasters exist. You can go there, get on stage, get the feedback, get the theory, and learn to become a better speaker. But it starts from you taking the leadership of your own public speaking career, going to the place where you get experience, you get on stage, you fail enough times to become more comfortable. And then nothing can stop you.
Sounds great. But, yeah.
Very smart.
I think it was a really nice conclusion. And yeah, well, thanks a lot for being my guest, for sharing all your own personal experiences. And then hopefully more people will follow your path.
And thank you for having me. And it's just been a fun cool. podcast.
Happy to hear that. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Mihaela.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope you had some inspiring insights on your journey to spotlight your true self. If you don't want to miss the next episode, then please subscribe to this podcast. And you would make me very happy if you would give this podcast a rating if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you would recommend this podcast to your friends, to your family, to your colleagues, or whoever where you think this person would find support in the topics that I am discussing here. If you would like to follow me on social media, you can find me on LinkedIn and on Instagram under @michaela.kettner.fi. And if you find it challenging to spell my German name, you can find, of course, all the contact details in the show notes of this podcast.